So let's start with a little bit of review.
Empecemos con una revisión de ayer.
We'll see if you were paying attention last night.
Vamos a ver si es que pusieron atención en
noche. I'm sure you were. What was the main point? I spoke for a whole hour.
¿Cuál fue la parte más importante? Hablé por más de una hora.
But really, I only made one main point.
Pero realmente hice un solo punto.
And what was the main point? Into Christ.
En Cristo.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. I was talking, so I had to do that. So now I have to do that. Okay, good. Yes. Right. And really, even more precise, baptism is when we are saved.
Y más precisamente, el bautismo es cuando somos salvos.
This is as clear a teaching in the Bible as there is.
Y eso es una manera muy clara de enseñarlo de la Biblia.
And there's no scripture that would even remotely suggest anything different.
Y no hay remotamente ninguna escritura que sugiera algo diferente.
So baptism is when we come into Christ.
Así que bautismo es cuando venimos a estar en Cristo.
Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the practice of baptism.
De un poquito de la historia del bautismo.
And the teachings on baptism.
Y los enseñanzas en bautismo.
Here's a little outline.
Aquí está el resumen.
First, we're going to look at baptism in the book of Acts. And then we're going to look at the church fathers, the early church fathers, what they said about baptism. Then we'll see what happened during the period of Catholic dominance. What the Catholic Church did to the doctrine of baptism. And then we'll talk about the Reformation. And then we'll talk about evangelicalism. So the doctrine of baptism in the last 200 years or so. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the mention of baptism in the book of Acts. Now, Jesus didn't talk about baptism very much, right?
Así que Jesús no habló mucho del bautismo, ¿correcto?
And baptism is not mentioned in Paul's letters very often.
El bautismo no está mencionado en las cartas de Pablo muy seguido.
But there's a reason for that.
Pero hay una razón por ello.
Because Paul was dealing with the issues that were going on in the church.
Porque Pablo estaba hablando sobre la situación que estaba sucediendo en la iglesia.
One thing we can say for sure.
Una cosa que podemos decir seguro.
The doctrine of baptism was not a problem in the early church.
Que la doctrina de bautismo no era un problema en la iglesia temprana.
In fact, when Paul mentions baptism,
de hecho, cuando Pablo menciona bautismo,
that's not the subject.
No es el tema principal.
He just uses it as an example.
Solamente lo utiliza como un ejemplo.
For example, in Romans 6,
por ejemplo, en Romanos 6,
he's not talking about baptism.
No está hablando de bautismo.
He's talking about grace.
Está hablando de gracia.
And that grace should not be an excuse for sin. And in Colossians 2, when he's talking about baptism, he's not talking about baptism. He's talking about the law. And that we're no longer under the law. But in the book of Acts, baptism is mentioned a lot. Why? Because they were baptizing a lot of people. Because Acts is not a doctrinal discussion. It's not a theological discussion. It's primarily a history. Now you can see from the table up there.
What was that?
You can see from the table there. There are 8 conversions that are mentioned in the book of Acts.
Hay 8 conversiones que están mencionadas en el libro de Hechos.
The most famous, of course, is Acts chapter 2.
Y la más famosa, desde luego, es Hechos 2.
And you can see which aspects of salvation are mentioned in each case.
Y puedes ver qué aspectos de salvación se mencionan en cada caso.
Do you agree that repentance is necessary for salvation?
¿Estás de acuerdo que el arrepentimiento es necesario para la salvación?
Then why doesn't every salvation story mention repentance?
¿Y por qué no en cada situación de salvación se menciona el arrepentimiento?
I don't know.
No sé.
Do you agree that receiving the Holy Spirit is an important part of salvation?
¿Estarías de acuerdo que recibir el Espíritu Santo es parte de la salvación?
So why isn't it mentioned every time?
¿Pero por qué no está mencionado en cada una de las ocasiones?
And what about the need to have faith?
¿Y qué tal la necesidad de tener fe?
Even that's not mentioned every time.
Aún eso no está mencionado en cada caso.
But the one thing that is mentioned in every single conversion story in the book of Acts is baptism.
Pero lo que sí se menciona en cada uno de los casos de conversión en el libro de Hechos es el bautismo.
Why?
¿Por qué?
Because that's when they're saved.
Es cuando son salvos.
So when they're saying they were saved, they're saying they're baptized.
Cuando dice que son salvados, dice que son bautizados.
As you can see, repentance is mentioned in 2 of these accounts.
Como puedes ver, el arrepentimiento se menciona en todas estas situaciones.
This little thing means it's implied.
Ese pequeño punto significa que está, se implica.
Because when you see the conversion of Paul,
pero cuando ves la conversión de Pablo,
the word repent is not mentioned.
La palabra arrepentimiento no está mencionada.
But you can see that he repented.
Pero puedes ver que hay un arrepentimiento.
Okay, what about the need for faith?
¿Qué tal la necesidad es?
Well, it's implied in every conversion, obviously.
Está implícita en cada conversión, obviamente.
But it's only mentioned in 3 of them.
Pero solo se menciona en 3 de ellas.
What about the fact that there's forgiveness?
¿Qué tal el hecho de que hay perdón?
That's pretty important.
Es muy importante.
But it's only mentioned in 3 of them.
Pero solo se menciona en 3 de ellas.
So we can see that in the book of Acts, baptism is mentioned many, many times, every single conversion.
Pero vemos que en el libro de Hechos, en todas las ocasiones, se menciona el bautismo en cada conversión.
And some people say, well, baptism is not mentioned that much in the New Testament.
Pero algunos dicen, bueno, es que el bautismo no se menciona mucho en el Nuevo Testamento.
But in the history,
pero en la historia,
in Acts, it's mentioned many times.
En Hechos, se menciona muchas veces.
All right, now what about the early church fathers?
¿Qué tal los padres de la iglesia temprana?
They mention baptism a lot.
Mencionaron el bautismo mucho.
Much more than the books of Paul or Peter.
Mucho más que los libros de Pablo y Pedro.
What did the writer of the Epistle of Barnabas say about baptism?
¿Qué dijo el escritor de la epístola de Bernabé?
By the way, whoever wrote it was probably not named Barnabas.
Por cierto, el quien haya escrito no, probablemente no fue Bernabé.
That's just what they call this letter.
Eso solo como llamaron esta carta.
And was written about the year 110 AD.
Fue escrita más o menos en el año 110.
And it says in English, we descend into the water full of sins. It's translated there.
Dice, literalmente, dice, ciertamente.
En efecto, descendemos al... you could do better.
Yeah. Ciertamente descendemos al agua llenos de pecados y de contaminación. Sin embargo, emergemos dando fruto de nuestro corazón.
So what did the writer of the Epistle of Barnabas think about baptism?
Así que, ¿qué pensaba el escritor de la Epístola de Bernabé respecto al bautismo?
That's when we're saved. Okay, another one, another letter written about 95 AD.
Otra carta escrita más o menos en el 95.
About the same time that the book of Apocalypse was written.
Más o menos al mismo tiempo que fue escrito el libro de Apocalipsis.
This was an elder, and here's what he said.
Era un anciano.
El sello, right?
Que decía, el sello, entonces es el agua. Descienden al agua muertos y emergen vivos.
That's pretty clear.
Es muy claro.
I wish it said that in the New Testament. Espero que dice en el Nuevo Testamento. It'd be kind of nice.
Podría ser bueno.
And he says the seal is the water.
Dice que el sello es el agua.
Well, what does the Bible say that the seal is?
Pero ¿qué es lo que la Biblia dice que es el sello?
The Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Y el Espíritu Santo.
But that's when we receive the Holy Spirit.
Pero es cuando recibimos el Espíritu Santo.
Another author, Irenaeus of Lyon. In the second half of the second century, here's what he said. Well, if Irenaeus is right, then all these teachers today are instigated by Satan.
Todos estos maestros actuales están instigados por Satanás.
I'll tell you this.
Yo te digo esto.
There was absolutely no debate in the early church.
No había ningún debate en la iglesia temprana del primer siglo.
About the purpose and meaning of baptism.
Acerca del propósito del bautismo.
And he says baptism is how we're regenerated.
Y dice el bautismo es como somos regenerados.
But most Christians deny baptismal regeneration. Today.
Pero en estos días la mayoría negra niega que hay una regeneración.
Tertullian, around 200 AD.
Tertuliano de Cartago en 205 dice, sin el bautismo nadie puede alcanzar la salvación.
It's true.
Es verdad.
There was no confusion.
No había confusión.
Another one.
Otro más.
This is by Origen.
Este es se llama Origen.
He said, baptism without repentance does not save.
El bautismo sin arrepentimiento no salva.
In fact, if one is baptized without repenting,
de hecho, si alguien es bautizado sin arrepentirse,
then they're worse off than they were before.
Está peor que antes.
Now, I've read many, many writings of the early church fathers.
Yo he leído muchos escritos de la iglesia del primer siglo, de los padres de la iglesia.
I've got a whole book about that on the table back there.
Tengo un libro de se refiere a eso en la mesa de atrás.
And here's the thing.
Y es esto.
There's no debate.
No hay debate, no hay.
There's no other opinion.
No hay otra opinión.
There are no quotes.
No hay menciones.
That mentions, you know, praying Jesus into your heart.
De que mencionen a orar a Jesús en tu corazón,
or baptism is a symbol.
O que el bautismo es un símbolo.
There's no other voice.
No hay otra sola voz.
So what we know, absolutely, 100%.
Pero lo que sabemos es que absolutamente, 100%.
What I taught last night
de lo que enseñé anoche,
is what was taught by the early church.
Es lo que fue enseñado por la iglesia del primer siglo.
But that changed eventually, didn't it?
Pero ese cambio se dio finalmente.
And so what happened was not the doctrine of baptism did not change.
Lo que pasa es que la doctrina del bautismo no ha cambiado.
The doctrine did not change for hundreds of years.
La doctrina no cambió por cientos de años.
But the practice changed.
Pero la práctica cambió.
And that's something you learn in church history.
Y es algo que tú aprendes en la historia de la iglesia.
First the church changes the practice.
Primero la iglesia cambia la práctica.
And then they change the doctrine.
Y luego cambia la doctrina.
Somebody asked me about preparation for baptism last night.
Me preguntaron sobre la preparación para el bautismo.
And that is relevant to this question.
Y es relevante a esta pregunta.
Because the practices we have.
Porque las prácticas que tenemos.
Might be helpful.
Pudieran ser útiles.
But we need to be careful.
Pero tenemos que ser cuidadosos.
That we don't take our practices too far.
Que no llevamos nuestras prácticas muy lejos.
And we don't forget.
Y no olvidamos.
What the Bible teaches.
Que lo que la Biblia enseña.
For example, by the end of the first century.
Por ejemplo, para finales del primer siglo.
The church had developed a number of practices before baptism.
La iglesia desarrolló un número de prácticas antes del bautismo.
We have a record of that. It's in a book called the Didache.
Tenemos cuento de eso en el libro de Miraque.
It was written around 100 AD.
Que fue escrito más o menos en el año 180.
They had a name for the person preparing for baptism.
Tenían un nombre para la persona que preparaba al bautizar.
They called them a catechumen.
Lo llamaban el catecúmeno.
Have you heard of the word catechism?
¿Han escuchado la palabra catecismo?
That's a Roman Catholic thing?
Sí.
Right. It's preparation for baptism. So they required fasting before baptism. Now, do we require people to fast before they're baptized? I hope not. Do we suggest it? Okay. But we need to be careful. We can move from suggesting it to requiring it. Wait, did you ask them to fast? Why not? You see? Also, before they were baptized, they had to say a creed. Now, before we baptize somebody, we ask them to say something, yes? By the way, I'm glad we do that. That's good. That's good. But they had a set statement. It was always exactly the same. We call that a creed, which really means belief. And eventually they relied on the creed. Another thing they were doing in the second century is they would baptize them and then they would anoint their forehead with oil. Well, that's interesting. Why did they do that? Because when we're baptized, what happens to us? We receive the Holy Spirit. So they wanted people to understand that. So they wanted to remember, that's when we got the Holy Spirit. So they put a little oil on their head. Seems like a good idea, right? But it became part of their official practice. And by the second and third century, they began to teach, when you're baptized, you're forgiven of the sins, and then when they anoint with the oil, that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, you see that? And so, in Catholicism, you're baptized, and then you're confirmed. Maybe 15 years later. So you see how this happens. At this point, they really had not changed the doctrine of baptism. But their practice was developing in ways that are probably not good. Another thing they would do, by the second century, this was common practice. They would delay for maybe 6 months. Why? Because there was a lot of persecution, and it was very likely people would invade the church like a spy. And it was very dangerous. So maybe it sounds like a good idea. What are you trying to... I know. Maybe they thought it was a good idea. But I don't think that's a good idea. Because if somebody's repented and been a disciple, shouldn't we baptize them right away? That was one of the questions last night. That was a good question. Another thing is, they would baptize them three times.
bautizaban tres veces. Padre, el Hijo y el
Espíritu Santo. Do you see why they did that? Because they wanted to make people understand about the Trinity. And another thing they did, they would baptize them nude, no clothes. To represent the purity. Okay, you see what happens. But even then, they weren't baptizing babies. But actually, they were not. Not in the second century. But by the end of the third century, they were starting to baptize infants. Now, how did this happen? We don't have a detailed record. But here's what I think happened. Children that were from families that were Christians, maybe they baptized them when they were 15. And then maybe when they were 10. And then maybe when they were 8. And maybe then when they were 6. Why not? They believe, they said, baby, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But what's happening here? What we're doing is we're separating repentance from salvation. But you know the story about the frog in the water? Yeah. You put him in the water and you heat it up. It gets warmer and warmer. And then it gets cooked. But if you throw the frog in the hot water, he jumps out right away. Another practice, people were delaying baptism until they were about to die. They're on their deathbed. Because they began to teach that baptism forgives original sin, but sin after baptism, you have to have repentance. Now the teaching of baptism is changing. This is already by the third century. And again, by the very end of the third century, they began to baptize babies. At first, the church leaders did not support this. But by the very end of the third century, we have Cyprian, one of the important church fathers, saying, baptize your babies. And we understand that babies can't repent of their sin. And they also can't believe. You could convince yourself that a 7-year-old has faith. They can say, I'm sorry. But a baby, that's obvious. So then the church had to explain why they were baptizing babies. By the way, it's easy to be critical, but imagine what life was like back then. Many children, maybe 30, 40, 50% died within a few weeks. And the parents, their child was about to die and they're feeling such mourning and such sorrow. So they say, well, just in case, you know, just in case. So let's be careful to be so critical. So then by the fourth century, the church fathers were beginning to actually encourage the practice of baptizing babies.
Los padres de la iglesia comenzaron a inspirar, animar, a motivar el bautismo.
The first one to explain it that we know of is a leader named Cyprian.
El primero que sabemos que trató de explicarlo fue un líder llamado Cipriano.
Why are we baptizing babies?
Porque estamos bautizando bebés.
What sins have they committed?
¿Qué pecados han cometido?
So Cyprian taught what's called original sin.
Así que lo que Cipriano enseñó fue el pecado original.
I'm guessing you've heard of that teaching.
Yo creo que han
pecado original, it's the teaching that we almost like genetically receive sin from Adam.
Es casi como si genéticamente recibiéramos el pecado desde Adán.
And so we inherit sin from Adam.
Así que heredamos el pecado de Adán.
And we're born liable to hell.
Y nacemos ya estando dispuestos para ir al infierno.
So here's a quote from a Catholic statement about baptism.
Aquí les digo una frase de una frase católica del bautismo.
Valid reception of baptism does not require faith.
Una recepción válida del bautismo no requiere fe.
Therefore, you can baptize somebody who has no faith.
Por lo tanto, puedes bautizar a alguien que no tiene fe.
Another Catholic statement is this.
Otro frase católica decía esto.
Baptize any person
bautiza cualquier persona
found unconscious,
aunque lo encuentres inconsciente,
or about to die.
O casi para morir.
That's terrible. So, by the year 400 AD,
para what year?
By the year, let's say 400 AD, baptizing people that hadn't repented was normal. It was common.
Bautizar gente que no se ha arrepentido era normal.
You know, when Constantine made Christianity legal,
cuando Constantino hizo el cristianismo legal,
the church was so excited, so great.
La iglesia estaba tan contenta, tan emocionada.
But within 50 years,
pero después de 50 años,
more than 90% of the members of the church,
más del 90% de los miembros de la iglesia,
weren't disciples.
No eran discípulos.
They hadn't repented of their sins.
No se habían arrepentido sus pecados.
And they just went through this ceremony.
Y solo iban por esa ceremonia.
And most of them didn't even remember it.
Y muchos ni se acordaban.
But they were still immersing.
Pero todavía estaban, sumergiendo.
Even then they taught baptism was for the forgiveness of sins.
Y aún así enseñaban que el bautismo era para perdón de pecados.
The sin of Adam, but hey, you know. But it wasn't until about the year 1100 AD they began to do the sprinkling thing. And about the year 1100 or 1200 they began to fill in their baptistries. They didn't bother to immerse anybody anymore. And baptism became like a magic formula. Like abracadabra. No, it was a power of the church, not of repentance. Okay, so that's the story in the Catholic Church. So, fortunately,
pero afortunadamente,
the Reformation
la reforma
fixed that problem.
Arregló ese problema.
No, they didn't.
No lo hicieron.
Not really.
No, realmente.
Most important for us
es importante para nosotros
is to know about a man named Ulrich Zwingli.
El más importante para nosotros es saber de una persona que se llamaba Ulrich Zwingli.
Now, the Catholic Church had seven sacraments. Of those seven sacraments, two were in the Bible.
De esos siete sacramentos, solamente dos estaban en la Biblia.
Right? Mm-hmm. Baptism and communion.
Bautismo y
comunión.
The Santa Cena. And so, here's how humans tend to act.
Y así es como los humanos tendemos a actuar.
We see people doing something that doesn't make any sense.
Vemos a la gente hacer cosas que no hacen nada de sentido.
So we take the pendulum to the opposite direction.
Entonces mandamos el péndulo al lado opuesto.
So Zwingli said, no sacraments.
Cuando Zwingli dijo, no hay sacramentos.
Not, at least not in the sense of an action that has a spiritual power.
Al menos no en el sentido de que tenga un poder espiritual.
So he said the Lord's Supper
dijo, la Santa Cena
is just to remember.
Es solamente para recordar.
That's the only purpose.
Es el único propósito.
Does the New Testament say the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember?
Dice el Nuevo Testamento que el propósito de la Santa Cena es recordar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Does it say anything else? Yes. It's not only is it to remember, but it's also a participation. We don't teach that. Our church doesn't teach that. Because we learned from Zwingli. Okay? And Zwingli taught that the Lord's Supper is only to remember. By the way, he and Martin Luther, they had a big fight over this. Because Martin Luther said, it's a participation. They had a big meeting. And Luther, he put a line on the ground. And he said, here I stand. That's an interesting moment. But the Protestant churches followed Zwingli. But that's not the main reason I mentioned Ulrich Zwingli. The other thing he did, he said, baptism also is just a symbol. He said, baptism in the New Testament is like circumcision in the Old Testament. Now that's complicated. We have mature Christians. So I can talk about a complicated question here. Because does the New Testament ever make a parallel between circumcision and baptism? Yes. In fact, I talked about that last night. They got baptized into Joshua. And then they got circumcised. And Paul calls baptism spiritual circumcision. But that's not what Zwingli said. Zwingli said that circumcision is an action that reflects something that's already true. In other words, they were already a Jew. And the circumcision was just a ceremony. So Zwingli said, you're already saved. It's just a ceremony. Okay. That's the main teaching in churches today. But the Catholic Church, they have almost the right teaching. But almost all evangelical churches and Protestant churches teach what Zwingli taught. The year was roughly
1520
AD. Not taught by anybody before that. The main teaching about baptism today
ahora,
was never done before that time.
Nunca se había hecho antes de aquel tiempo.
So, Jesus dies.
Así que Cristo muere.
All right, there's today.
Allá es hoy.
All right, so, no, they didn't teach that, they didn't teach that, they didn't teach that. Okay, 3/4 of the time.
Así como 3/4 del tiempo.
This was never taught.
Nunca fue enseñado.
So Zwingli invented this idea.
Así que Zwinglio inventó esta idea.
That baptism,
que el bautismo,
is an outward sign,
que es una señal externa,
of an inward reality.
De una, realidad interna.
Is that what the Bible teaches?
¿Es lo que enseña la Biblia?
No. Obviously not.
Claro que no.
Because when we're baptized,
porque cuando somos bautizados,
that's when we're saved.
Es cuando somos salvos.
Right?
Claro.
Okay. So, that is important in history.
Eso es importante en la historia.
Now, at the time that Zwingli taught this,
en el tiempo que Zwingli enseñó esto,
within his Reformation,
entre, dentro de su reforma,
there was another group,
había otro grupo,
known as the Anabaptists,
conocidos como los Anabaptistas.
They taught
que ellos enseñaron
that baptism,
el bautismo,
is only for people who've repented,
solamente para gente que se arrepiente,
who have faith,
que tienen fe,
and who are adults.
Que son adultos.
So they taught that what we teach, basically.
Y ellos enseñaron básicamente lo que enseñamos nosotros.
You know what Zwingli did to those people?
¿Sabes lo que hizo Zwingli a esas personas?
He said, we're going to kill you.
Dijo, los vamos a matar.
And they would take them to the lake,
los llevaban al lago,
a rope and a rock,
una cuerda y una piedra,
and say, okay, we'll baptize you, all right.
Y dicen, okay, los vamos a bautizar.
Capital punishment.
Castigo, capital, capital.
For teaching that baptism is when you're saved.
Porque enseñaban que el bautismo es cuando eres salvo.
So that's an interesting history.
Esa es una parte interesante de la historia.
All right, let's get closer to modern times.
Acerquémonos más a los tiempos modernos.
Let's come forward to the time when we start to see what's now called the evangelical movement.
Vayamos al tiempo a lo que ahora llamamos el movimiento evangélico.
The evangelical movement was created in England and the United States.
El movimiento evangélico fue creado en Estados Unidos y en Inglaterra.
It began in the 18th century.
Empezó en el siglo 18.
One person involved in that was Jonathan Edwards.
Una persona involucrada era Jonathan Edwards.
He was a very important theologian in America at that time.
Era un teólogo muy importante en Estados Unidos en aquel tiempo.
And he believed that you have to have baptizing babies.
Él creyó que tenías que tener bebés bautizados.
That takes care of original sin.
Que eso se resuelve lo del pecado original.
I forgot something so important. Oh, we have to rewind the tape.
Tenemos que regresar así.
Remember I mentioned Cyprian?
Recuerdo que mencioné a Cipriano.
What teaching did he begin?
¿Con qué enseñanza empezó?
Original sin.
Pecado original.
I forgot to mention Augustine.
Olvidé mencionar a Agustín.
Very important.
Muy importante.
Augustine was a much smarter theologian than Cyprian.
Agustín era mucho más listo como teólogo que Cipriano.
He was a brilliant theologian.
Era un brillante teólogo.
And he was the most influential theologian in the Catholic Church for 1,000 years.
Fue el teólogo más influyente por muchos años en la Iglesia Católica.
He changed original sin,
él cambió el pecado original,
into total depravity. Right. But that's a discussion for tomorrow.
Es una discusión para mañana.
But that is what Luther believed.
Que eso es lo que Lutero cree.
It's what Zwingli believed.
Que es lo que Zwinglio cree.
And it's what John Calvin believed.
Es lo que Juan Calvino cree.
And it became the foundation for what became Calvinism.
Y se vino a convertir en el fundamento de lo que ahora es el calvinismo.
So it goes beyond original sin,
va más allá del pecado original,
to the idea of total depravity,
a la idea de la depravación total,
which means we're born completely incapable of believing in Jesus or repenting or anything like that.
Significa que nacemos completamente incapaces de creer en Jesús o de arrepentirnos.
All right, so in the 18th century, they had the first great awakening.
Así que en el siglo XVIII hubo el primer gran despertar.
And they had, it happened in England and in Massachusetts.
Pasó en Inglaterra, en Massachusetts.
And they had all these sudden, huge changes.
Y de repente tuvieron estos cambios, repentinos, increíbles, grandes.
Whole towns, everybody was starting to go to church.
Pueblos completos empezaron a ir a la iglesia.
And they taught that first you're baptized as a baby. That takes care of original sin. But then you have a second experience. Where the Holy Spirit overtakes you and you have this big, deep reflection. And this feeling in your heart that comes upon you and this burning in your heart. It would usually, before that, would have a feeling of depression and sadness and something like that. That became the normal form of conversion. The first conversion, when you're a little tiny baby, which took care of original sin, they already had that in the Catholic Church. It didn't produce a whole lot of faith. So they began to teach this second awakening, if you will. Maybe you've heard of John Wesley. And the Methodist Church. It started at that time. The next person I want to mention. Okay, what's that say?
Martin.
I know, but
Al Santiago, your authority is not sufficient.
Talking about the letter of James.
All right, I'm gonna. Here we go.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to come to the modern Christian movements, at least in America. That would be during the second great awakening. This is in the early 19th century. And what happened was, the very, very negative kind of Calvinism, for example, Jonathan Edwards, he famously preached about the sinner in the hands of an angry God. And they taught total depravity. And many other things I'll talk about on Saturday. Church attendance was very low. People tell you America was born as a Christian country. That's a distortion of the reality. Church attendance is higher now than it was then. But then they had that second great awakening. That's when America became so many people going to church. So they began to teach a nicer Calvinism. To make it much easier to become a Christian. A famous person in this process is called Charles Finney. And he taught, you could show up to church a total sinner, get converted right there, and walk out saved. He had a thing called the mourner's bench. Instantaneous conversion.
Es la conversión más pequeña, instantánea.
And so millions of people flocked into the churches. They would have these tent meetings and here's what Charles Finney said.
Sobre el bautismo, la iglesia siempre ha considerado necesario tener algo así para cumplir este mismo propósito. En los días de los apóstoles, el bautismo cumplía este propósito. Ocupó el lugar que ahora ocupa el asiento de la ciudad como manifestación pública de su determinación de ser cristiano.
At least he's honest.
Al menos es honesto. Puede cambiarlo, puede cambiarlo.
He said, all right, back then, they baptized. But that's inconvenient for us. Oh, you can do that a few months later. That's just the outward sign of an inner faith. So you come in, you sit down, you say a prayer, you get a feeling in your heart, and you go home saved. All right? So remember, the idea that baptism is a symbol around 1520 AD. The idea of praying Jesus into your heart around 1835. It's all in the record. And so that became normal. That conversion was this feeling.
Que la conversión era esta sensación.
I just felt saved. Now, he did not invent the sinner's prayer.
Él no inventó la oración del pecador.
He didn't invent the four spiritual laws.
No inventó las cuatro leyes espirituales.
But he invented the idea that you have this service, this very, very emotion-charged and people walk down the aisle.
Que la gente caminaba a través del pasillo.
They sit on the front.
Se sentaban en el frente.
And then they get, almost said they get baptized. They get saved.
Y de repente ya eran salvos.
So the idea of the sinner's prayer, that's a guy named Billy Sunday.
La idea de la oración del pecador es de un ya llamado Billy Sunday.
By the way, that's his actual name. What a great name for a preacher. Billy Sunday. That's his actual name. He was a baseball player. He was born in extreme poverty. He was an orphan. Thank you. He somehow ended up in Chicago. He played for the Cubs.
And
he had a conversion event. He had a conversion event there. And so he began to do these fired up sermons. Millions and millions of people came. He had these huge tents that would hold thousands of people. People were saved by what he called the saw. You know what sawdust is?
Yeah.
Like the sawdust trail. So had these huge tents. An aisle in the middle. And they put sawdust down there. And you could see people's footprints coming down the sawdust trail. Hundreds of thousands of conversions. And he taught them to say essentially the sinner's prayer. Thank you, God, that you love me so much. I'm a sinner. And thank you for coming into my heart. Something like that. So eventually, this practice of the sinner's prayer, it was adopted by the entire evangelical movement. Billy Sunday changed one other thing as well.
Billy Sunday cambió una cosa más también.
At least in America.
Al menos en Estados Unidos.
Because before Billy Sunday,
porque antes de Billy Sunday,
Christianity was associated with progressive issues.
Porque el cristianismo estaba asociado con situaciones progresistas.
Like feeding the poor.
Como alimentar a los pobres.
Taking care of orphans.
Cuidar a los huérfanos.
Making sure at public education.
Asegurarte de la educación pública.
The abolition of slavery.
Eliminar la esclavitud.
Women's rights.
Los derechos de las mujeres.
But after Billy Sunday,
pero después de Billy Sunday,
Christianity was associated with the right wing.
Porque el cristianismo fue asociado con el camino correcto.
The conservative politics.
La política conservadora.
And, you know, anti-communism.
Anticomunismo.
And the American flag and things like that.
Bandera americana de Estados Unidos.
Okay, we're almost done with this part.
Casi terminamos con esta parte.
Now we come to close to modern times. Okay, what's this? Let me see. Yeah, the sinner's prayer.
Sí, la oración del pecador.
Right. Charles Finney invented it.
La inventó Charles Finney.
But then you have Bill Bright.
Luego tienes a Bill Bright.
And Billy Graham.
I think
there's Bill Bright.
Is it Bill Bright?
He was a preacher in the 1950s.
Fue un predicador en los 50s.
And he invented the four spiritual laws.
Y él inventó las cuatro leyes espirituales.
Right? That's at the back of all those Bibles, right?
Que están en la parte de atrás de las Biblias.
So they'd say a prayer like this.
Dirán una oración como esta.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
Dios de Jesús, te necesito.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Gracias por morir en la cruz.
I open the door of my heart and please come in.
Abro la puerta de mi corazón, por favor, entra en.
And I receive you as my Savior.
Te recibo como mi Salvador.
Thank you for forgiving my sins.
Gracias por perdonar mis pecados.
And take control of my life.
Y controla mi vida.
The four spiritual laws,
las cuatro leyes espirituales,
which is the standard salvation teaching.
Que es la enseñanza estándar de salvación.
Number one. God loves you and has a great plan for your life.
Número uno, Dios te ama y tiene un gran plan para tu vida.
Do you agree with that?
¿Has escuchado eso?
Sí.
I think so, but it's very individualistic. It's very American. Very American.
Yo creo que es muy de Estados Unidos.
Very individualistic.
Muy individualista.
Number two.
Número dos.
Man is sinful.
El hombre es pecador.
And separated from God.
Y está separado de Dios.
And therefore cannot experience God's love and plan for their life.
Por lo tanto, no puede conocer ni experimentar el amor de Dios ni plan para su vida.
Do you agree with that?
¿Estás de acuerdo con eso?
I agree with that.
Yo estoy de acuerdo con eso.
Number three.
Número tres.
Jesus is God's only provision for sin.
Jesucristo es la única provisión de Dios para el pecado del hombre.
Through him you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life.
A través de él puedes experimentar el amor de Dios y su plan para tu vida.
Do you agree with that?
¿Estás de acuerdo con eso?
I think so, but it's very individualistic, very focused on the individual. And then number four. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know His love and His forgiveness. Where'd that come from? It came from Charles Finney. And Billy Sunday.
Billy Sunday.
And Bill Bright.
Bill Bright.
And Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
But it didn't come from the Bible.
Pero no vino de la Biblia.
All right, so we're gonna stop there.
Vamos a hacer un pequeño alto.
Maybe take a few questions.
Well, we'll hacer principio algunas preguntas.
And then a break.
You know, descanso.
And then we'll have one more class.
You know, tenemos una clase más.
So are there any questions?
¿Hay alguna pregunta?
Gracias. En los elementos que comentabas de las conversiones en hecho.
De los elementos.
Yeah.
Of the elements that you were mentioning, you know, conversions in Acts.
En la tabla estaba en esas conversiones cuando se menciona fe.
Yeah. On that thing that you showed about the faith and.
El arrepentimiento.
Right.
Pero mi pregunta es, hay una columna que dice iglesia.
There's a column that says church.
Right.
The last one.
I mean, we understand that when you're baptized, you also are become part of the church, right? That's in 1 Corinthians 12, yes? So whoever created this table, put that in there as well. But it's not mentioned in Acts that when you're baptized into Christ, you're also baptized into the church. But whoever created this table, not me, said it's implied in what? 6 out of 8. Certainly in Acts chapter 2, right? Certainly in Acts chapter 2, it implies when you're baptized into Christ, you're added to the church. But it doesn't actually say that. I suppose you could put an X there, right? You could. Because they were added to their number. But we understand that that our salvation involves all of these things, yes? If I was making this list, I'm not sure I would have created that column.
But,
yeah. Any other questions?
Quiero agregar un comentario.
I want to add a comment.
Yeah.
Los padres de la iglesia, como tal, hay que reconocer que no son infalibles de inicio.
Right.
Y algo mencionaste que no había una, dijiste que había unanimidad entre los padres de la iglesia, lo cual es impreciso, porque efectivamente había padres de la iglesia que no discutían el asunto de que se bautizaban o no, sino discutían la forma del cual se podía interpretar el bautismo. For example, pongo yo
he's saying that among the fathers of the church, you mentioned that there was an unanimity of what they were saying.
Yes.
You're saying that's not precise because we don't know that, and he's about to explain why it's not
okay.
Precise.
Clemente, Orígenes, Gregorio, Juan Crisóstomo, Ambrosio, Tertuliano, y Agustín. Había diferencias, ellos no estaban de acuerdo con algunos,
right.
Con otros padres. No había unanimidad de pensamiento.
They didn't have the very same opinion.
Right, but that's in the 5th century.
Eso es en el quinto siglo.
What I'm saying is in the first 2 centuries,
de lo que yo estoy diciendo es de los primeros 2 siglos,
there was no other.
No había otro.
Of course, 4th century, 5th century, 6th century, we have other teachings. Augustine, and yeah, sure. I'm saying in the first 2 centuries. And I think I've read nearly everything that's even we have from the early church fathers. As far as I know, I've read them all. At least from the first 2 centuries. And I think it's true. Yeah, but if you mention Augustine or Cyprian, you know, later, you hear different voices.
For example, Clemente de Alejandría menciona que la salvación proviene del logos, es decir, por la fe, no del alma.
Yeah.
Y había, así como él, otros padres como Orígenes, que él afirmaba que el agua no es causa de la gracia. La señala.
Clemente, from Alejandro.
Clement of Alexandria, yeah.
Yeah, come from the logos, not from the water. ¿Cuál fue el que sigue después de?
Orígenes.
Orígenes.
Mencionó que el agua no es causa.
He said that
the
water
agua no causa la gracia, sino la señala.
The water does not cause the grace.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Lo único que quiero agregar es a la precisión es que John mencionaste que no había que había unanimidad en todo pensamiento en los primeros siglos, lo cual hay diferencias incluso entre los padres. Y ponerlos de ejemplo nos sirve para la historia, para entender el bautismo, más no ponerlos como algo infalible a los padres, porque ellos mismos se equivocaban. Acabo de ver a Agustín de Hipona.
Yeah, I say that mentioned that they all think about the same regarding to the baptism. It's a good example, but they were not infallible.
Yes. Obviously, we understand that whoever wrote Didache or Epistle of Barnabas, that's not inspired by God. I didn't say that it is. My argument that baptism is the way you come into Christ is from the Bible. So I had that section proving what baptism is. Then we start a new class.
Right?
About history. And I'm just telling you what happened in history. I don't think that Origen was inspired.
Yo no creo que Origen estaba inspirado.
I don't think Tertullian was inspired.
Yo no creo que Tertullio estaba inspirado.
I don't think any of them are inspired.
Yo no creo que ninguno de ellos estaba inspirado.
I'm just telling you what they taught.
Yo no más estoy diciendo lo que ellos enseñaron.
And I believe what you're quoting from Clement does not disagree with what I'm saying.
From whom?
Clement. Clement of Alexandria was at the end of the second century.
Clemente de Alejandría estaba al final del segundo siglo.
He wrote about AD 190, AD 200. And I agree with him. I agree with him that the grace does not come from the water. In fact, that's even my outline. So the outline was, are we saved by baptism? I said, well, yeah, and no. No, we're saved by the grace of God. I think that's what Clement's saying. I don't think he disagreed that when we're baptized is when we're forgiven of our sins. What Clement of Alexandria believed is when we're baptized, that's when we're forgiven of our sins. That's what he taught. As far as I know. But feel free to send me that.
Mismos padres de la iglesia, no todos creían que el bautismo salvaba.
Among the fathers of the church, not all believed.
In the first two centuries, yes, that's what they all believed.
En el primer dos siglos, sí era lo que todos creían.
Now, I will look at evidence that disagrees with that.
Yo puedo ver evidencia que esté en desacuerdo con eso.
I've never seen any.
Nunca la he visto yo.
But I'll happily read.
Pero estaré felizmente de acuerdo contigo.
So please send me that letter by Clement.
Por favor, mándame esa carta de Clemente.
And I already said, later,
y como dije después,
the teaching about baptism did change.
Como ya lo dije, la enseñanza sobre el bautismo cambió.
For example, I mentioned Cyprian.
Por ejemplo, mencioné a Cipriano.
At the end of the 3rd century.
Al final del tercer siglo.
And Augustine in the late 4th century.
Y Agustín al final del cuarto siglo.
But yeah, I agree with you.
Estoy de acuerdo contigo.
We don't read the early church writings
no hemos leído los escritos de la iglesia primitiva
to discover the truth.
Para descubrir la verdad.
We read it to find out how the early church understood the Bible.
Lo leemos para entender cómo ellos entendían la Biblia.
And by the second century, there were many practices in the church that I don't agree with.
Para el segundo siglo había muchas prácticas de la iglesia con las que yo no estoy de acuerdo.
But on baptism, as far as I know, they taught what we teach.
Pero hasta donde yo sé, en cuanto a bautismo, sí estaba bien.
But I'll happily read Clement of Alexandria.
Pero con gusto leeré a Clemente de Alejandría.
Yeah.
No sé si, gracias. No sé, tal vez si yo estoy en lo correcto, hablando ahorita de lo que estaba diciendo Luis. Pero algo que entiendo es que los primeros padres de la iglesia en los primeros siglos no era un debate sobre el bautismo, era una enseñanza acerca del bautismo tratando de profundizarlo más que un debate. Después las prácticas
She says that according to what Luis says, what she understands is that in the early church fathers, there was not a debate about the baptism.
Right.
It was just about teaching deeply to understand the baptism.
By the way, they had a lot of debates.
Pero, por cierto, tuvieron muchos debates.
There were many debates.
Tuvieron muchos debates.
They had Gnosticism.
Tuvieron Gnosticismo.
They had many false theologies.
Mucha teología falsa.
There was all kinds of stuff.
Había todo tipo de cosas.
And in fact, many of the practices on baptism were attempts to defend against those teachings.
De hecho, muchas de las prácticas de bautismo fueron intentos de defender esas falsas enseñanzas.
They debated whether Jesus was God.
Ellos discutían si Jesús era Dios.
Or whether he really had a physical body.
Discutían si realmente tuvo un cuerpo físico.
There were many debates, even in the first century. Over relationship between works and salvation.
Acerca de la relación entre obras y salvación.
And in fact, in the book of 1 John,
de hecho, en el libro de Primera de Juan,
him we saw,
dice, vimos,
and we touched,
y lo tocamos,
because he's opposing a false teaching.
Porque es para evitar una enseñanza falsa.
That Jesus didn't come in the flesh.
Que Jesús vino en no vino carne.
He says,
que no vino en la carne.
Yeah, he says, that's the Antichrist.
Eso es el Anticristo.
It's not some guy at the end of time. Who's somebody that teaches that Jesus did not have a physical body. There were a lot of debates and problems in the church. But my understanding is baptism just, it wasn't one of them.
Pero mi entendimiento es que el bautismo no era uno de esos debates.
Until later.
Hasta después.
Okay.
¿Terminaste?
No. Bueno, era como entender un poquito estos primeros siglos y ya después los demás. Pero gracias.
And I've written a book on these things if you want to read it.
Escribí un libro de esas cosas por si lo
quieres. Pero solamente en inglés.
So.
Yeah, sorry. But let me summarize. So, we look at the current teachings on baptism. And a good question is, when was that taught? And the things that are taught in these churches was not taught until recently.
Las cosas que se enseñan en estas iglesias no fue enseñado hasta recientemente.
Does that prove anything?
¿Eso prueba algo?
No, the Bible is the proof.
La Biblia no es lo que lo demuestra.
History doesn't prove anything.
La historia no demuestra nada.
But it's important to understand the history.
Pero es importante entender la historia.
Because it's true. The sinner's prayer is a recent invention.
La oración de los pecadores es una invención reciente.
The idea that baptism is merely a symbol, that's a recent invention.
La idea de que el bautismo es un símbolo es una idea reciente.
Now, is it true or not?
¿Es verdad o no?
We have to go back to the Bible to settle that question.
Entonces tenemos que ir a la Biblia para reafirmar esa.
Which I think is your point.
Y ese creo que es tu punto.
That history doesn't prove anything.
Que la historia no prueba nada.
As far as our belief.
Más que nuestra creencia.
Okay, good.
Yeah. La doctrina de la iglesia, más bien los primeros apóstoles y los discípulos de la primera, los discípulos o los primeros cristianos de la primera iglesia, se enfrentaron a un gran problema.
The early church was confronted by a big problem.
Porque no entendían ciertas doctrinas como por ejemplo el de la Trinidad.
Because they didn't understand certain doctrines about like the Trinity.
Yeah. Juan y se enfrentó, por ejemplo, a entender todo esto que pasó en el ministerio de Jesús.
John had to face this during the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah.
Entonces la doctrina del bautismo, no había duda de que todo creyente se tenía que bautizar.
Then the baptism doctrine, there was no doubt that every believer had to get baptized.
Yeah.
Se fue ¿cómo que puedo decir? Como mejorando el conocimiento, se fue aprendiendo, formando la doctrina.
The doctrine was being formed or built through
okay.
The
doctrine about Jesus, yes.
De la doctrina sobre Jesús, sí.
But the doctrine of baptism was not being built, it was well understood.
La doctrina sobre el bautismo no fue desarrollada, ya se entendía perfectamente.
Okay, good, but take a break.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure.
Wow.
Wow,
my torches.